fake news. You've heard that term. When someone presents you a truth and it's a lie, fake news, that's the cry. You say, I have the ability to discern right from wrong. I have the ability to see through your lies. But we live in a generation, we live in a time, you live in a time, you're faced with lies. Fake news is everywhere. You may not even realize it. The things that you read, the words that you absorb, the images that splash across the screens, it's everywhere. It's been around for a while, though, fake news. It's getting worse. So, for example, when I was a young boy, I remember hearing this fake news. There was a rumor about bubble yum. And bubble yum was the softest and chewiest bubble gum. It was revolutionary because previous to that, gum took a long time to get a bubble going. But this bubble yum, you could chew it for just a few seconds and you could start blowing bubbles. And in New York in the 70s, the rumor was spread that that's, you know, how they got it so soft was spider eggs. Yeah, I remember hearing that. And I was like, we're in Timmins and we're hearing this. Now, it took 10 days, they say, for about half of New York to hear this rumor, and it completely tanked the product. The product suffered greatly because of this nasty rumor. Well, that was 10 days. That was half of New York. You live in a day and age where a rumor can be started, and in 10 hours, half the world can hear it. I'm not joking. You've probably seen it happen. So we could cry out, we could say, fake news, bubblegum, it's not made with spider's eggs, you're okay guys, keep chewing, it's cool. Right? You don't have to worry about spider eggs. When I was a teen, when I was in high school, I engaged in fake news. You're not gonna believe it. Daily Press, look at this. Who's that dude? Philip Rue? What? No, like, I mean, I thought, oh yeah, I'm cool, I'm gonna get my face in the newspaper. Right? I'm not giving my real name though, right? Fake news. A lie is 10,000 times more powerful than the truth on the internet. So says the internet, right? Lies spread faster than the truth. Shock and outrage. It gets to you and you want to react. You want to freak out. You want to spread it around. You want to share it. You know, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, they give you an opportunity to really get that message out, right? A lie can travel halfway around the world. Well, the truth is putting its shoes on, says Mark Twain. Fake news! Mark Twain didn't say that! C.H. Spurgeon said that. Right? You didn't even know, I gotcha. You guys stay on your toes. You only gotta keep you guys accountable, right? So charts. We looked at charts. We say facts. We say stats. We say polls. You know, this is how we're gonna discern fake news, right? So I'm gonna show you some charts. Here we have a chart here. You're going to believe me more if I show you charts, right? This is going to lend to some credibility to what I have to say. Well, here we have a chart. Here's the 75%, here's the 10%, and here's the 15% of those polled who said that was the sunny side of the pyramid. Right? Seems reasonable. I'll buy it. How about this one? 80% of people versus the 20% who thought that was the part of the chart that made you think of Mr. T. It's true. Does. It kind of makes me think of Mr. T, for sure. You're going to look for articles and the sources of those articles. You're going to scour them and say, hey, these facts are real. This is a legitimate source. You're going to defend your points. You're going to say, I've got this article. It proves my point. You're going to get quotes. You're going to get some testimony. They're going to vouch for your truth. But the reality is that oftentimes lies are easier to understand than the truth. And oftentimes, it takes more energy to find the truth. And the Bible says, if you seek, you will find. But we are so lazy. We have no desire to seek. And we default to lies over and over again. Photos and video evidence. Sometimes we resort to photos and videos to prove our facts and our truth. I saw this one the other day. This showed up on Twitter. And this Sean guy says, there's always a tweet. And he's retweeting or posting a picture of this Donald J. Trump tweet that says that if the Dow Jones ever falls more than 1,000 points in a single day, the sitting president should be loaded into a very big cannon and shot into the sun at tremendous speed. No excuses. Well, of course it's not. Did Donald Trump say that? Well, actually, he didn't. No, he didn't. Snopes credibly verifies that the author of that tweet was just joking. But it spread so far, it spread so far and wide, because, unfortunately for Donald Trump, he's not known to be a truthful dude. And unfortunately for Donald Trump, there's tweets that he could pull back from 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that he'll contradict today, and that constantly is his nemesis, right? So, it's easy to fake a tweet, to spread a lie about Donald Trump, and people will believe it because it fits the narrative, it fits the story about his life. Now, we're not here to talk about Donald Trump. We're here to talk about fake news. We hate it. We hate it because we don't know what to believe. We hate it because it really messes with our comfort level. We want certainty. We want to be able to say, this is what I believe, this is why I believe it. No ifs, ands, or buts. We like that. But fake news messes with that. Always questioning our beliefs and challenging us. But you know what? On the flip side of it, we also love fake news. You know, the app Snapchat, it's an epitome of fake news. Fake news about yourself. You know, the popularity of the Snapchat filters is because you can present yourself in a way that's not entirely true. You know, your eyes aren't actually that big. Your cheeks aren't actually that rosy. There isn't actually a floating swirl of flowers above your head, right? But we like that image, and we like showing that image, showcasing about who we are. So we love it, right? Well, over time, with Snapchat, this is true. There's a quote I'm going to show you here. It's kind of mind-blowing. You're going to forget what you look like. This is a girl. Her name is Ruth. And she says, the next thing I knew, I was only taking selfies using the Snapchat camera. When I'd used a phone camera with no flowers or googly eyes obscuring my actual face, I think to myself, you look so hideous. So I just stopped using it altogether. Right? I don't know. Maybe that's you. I don't know. Well, we're going to jump into the book of Isaiah. Because we're going to talk about what God says about fake news. And Isaiah was specifically writing to a time period that is much like today. No, there wasn't Instagram. There wasn't Snapchat. They didn't have mobile phones and technology. But they had some of the same problems, the fundamental root issues that you struggle with in your life. And they had fake news. It was everywhere. If you turn to Isaiah 28, I'm going to read a few verses, the first six verses of the passage that we're going to hit on tonight. And it starts like this. Listen closely. It says, woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is the head of the fertile valley of those who are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has a strong and mighty agent, as a storm of hail, a tempest of destruction, like a storm of mighty overflowing waters, he has cast down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim is trampled underfoot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley, will be like the first ripe fig prior to summer, which one sees, and as soon as it is in his hand, he swallows it. In that day, the Lord of hosts will become a beautiful crown and a glorious diadem to those who are his remnant, a spirit of justice for him who sits in judgment, a strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. Whoa, that's pretty heavy. I don't know if you caught it all there. We went through it pretty quick. We're going to hit on a few main points in there tonight and then throughout the remainder of the weekend. But it starts with a whoa. And this isn't a whoa or a whoa, dude. This is a whoa. This is a judgment whoa. This is a whoa of dun, dun, dun from God. Impending doom, condemnation, bad things are happening. The environment is ripe for destruction for Ephraim. I have this picture here that always makes me laugh. This is Ephraim here. Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation. Oh, Ephraim. Ephraim, what happened?
How did you get here? The enemy is knocking on the doorstep. And here you are, as Isaiah 28 says, the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim. You see, Ephraim means fruitful. Ephraim had the best land, the best of God's promise. Ephraim was the have and the have-nots. You know that expression, the haves and the have-nots? Well, Ephraim was the haves. There was no excuse for Ephraim. He had all that he ever wanted, all that he ever needed. And what did he do? What did they do with the plenty that God had given them? It's not a pretty story. I mean, you might have caught that in the first six verses of Isaiah 28. The fading flower of its glorious beauty. You see, Ephraim was glorious and beautiful and awesome to look at. But it fades. Beauty doesn't last. Your glory fades. I'm going to look at a map here just for context. You know, Ephraim, it's a spot here on the map. When Jacob had 12 sons, we know that one of his sons was Joseph. Well, there's no land of Joseph in Israel. There's a land of Ephraim, and there's a land of Manasseh. Well, who are they? Well, they're Joseph's sons. And Joseph's sons were adopted by Jacob. And Jacob loved Joseph so much. Joseph, remember his coat? Remember that coat of many colors? Well, Joseph was loved so much that Jacob said, I am going to give your sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, the best of the best. They are going to get the blessing. Not Reuben, the firstborn. Ephraim and Manasseh. Whoa! This guy's had it all. But of course, you might know the history of Israel. But that nation of Israel, which was one under one king, soon split. And we have Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And Ephraim is right in the middle. It's like the borderlands between Israel in the north and Judah in the south. You can see Samaria, the capital of Israel. And Ephraim, while it had everything, didn't have the most important thing. And that was a strong faith in God. The king of Judah, Hezekiah, he was a good king. It says in 2 Kings 18:13, he says, Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. As Hezekiah held fast to the Lord, he did not depart from following him. The thing is, Hezekiah was the king of Judah. He wasn't the king of the north, of Israel. He wasn't Manasseh or Ephraim's king. You might be in this room today an Ephraim. You might have it all. You might be in a position where everybody loves you. You've been given everything that you could ever want. Or you might be a Hezekiah. You're in the south. You don't have the best of the land. But you're loving God. You're serving Him. You're going strong for Him. But you see something on the horizon and it terrifies you. You see a king of the north, a king of Assyria, marching down towards your people, and it terrifies you. You hear the words of Isaiah. Whoa, Ephraim. And it freaks you out. It terrifies you. Maybe you're alert. Maybe you're woke. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, yeah, I see that. I see that in my life. I see that in my friend's life. I see that there is some serious garbage going on in this world. But I want to live for God and I want to fight through it for Him. Maybe you're an Ephraim. Maybe you're a Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he stood out in the crowd. He was one of the good kings. You look on the left-hand chart here, these are the kings of Judah. This is a quick history lesson. There's a few good kings here. Now, there's a lot of bad kings. But Hezekiah, he's down here at the bottom. He was good. The kings of Israel, they're all bad. None of them worshipped God. They brought idol after idol. They strayed from God. They never followed. They didn't serve. They didn't worship. Hezekiah's heart was broken. I don't know if you've ever been broken for someone who you knew. And you said, I knew that person. They used to love God. They used to follow God. They used to walk with God. And they surely aren't now. Maybe that's you. Well, you know what? Hezekiah, he didn't just stop there. He wrote letters. It says Hezekiah wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh. And he said, return to the Lord. Come back. It's not too late. Do this. Come. You know, he sent out messengers, couriers, city to city throughout the country of Ephraim. But they laughed. They scorned and they mocked him. Ephraim didn't want to have anything to do with God. Hezekiah said, come, we're going to do Passover. We're going to worship God. We're going to celebrate His salvation. Come, please, I want you here. And Ephraim said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I have nothing to do with it. They cried out, fake news. So why are we talking about Hezekiah? Why are we talking about Ephraim? Well, 28th chapter of Isaiah, it refers, this is the fifth year of King Hezekiah's reign. And the fifth year of King Hezekiah's reign is actually quite interesting because something happens the following year that changes everything. Maybe you've had something like that in your happen. Right, one day, everything was fine. Everything was cool. Life was good. But then something happened. Life changed. Life never looked the same again. So this evening, Hezekiah brings you a warning. A warning that I've personally seen happen, where lives are destroyed in the exact same way that this passage describes. In the exact same way that Isaiah writes to the people of Ephraim, I've seen people who I thought loved God destroyed by sin. By sin, by building their lives on faulty foundations. By building their lives on lies. And this is a warning to you. You're young. You got a life ahead of you. Heed the warning. The warning is to avoid three faulty foundations. We're not going to get into them tonight. Tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, and Sunday morning, you're going to hear about these three faulty foundations to avoid. Remember these words, woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, to the fading flower of its glorious beauty. To Ephraim, it was fake news. Maybe to you. God's warning to you is fake news. If you skip down a few verses, this is part of what Ephraim was up against. Ephraim had made falsehood their refuge. They tried to conceal themselves with deception. We are masters of that. You and I are so good at hiding ourselves in falsehoods. We tell ourselves lies every other day. Because it makes us feel good. Because it helps us cope. Ephraim concealed itself with deception. And again, they didn't heed. They said, oh, that's fake news. No, that's not us. Well, spoiler alert, it was them. And in the sixth year of Hezekiah, remember, Isaiah 28 takes place in the fifth year. But in the sixth year, the following year, the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken, destroyed, captive by the Assyrians. The Assyrians marched in from the north, took them all off captive. See, God's warnings are not fake news. He who has an ear to hear, let him listen. Let him hear. Let him act. Let him do. That's what we're here for this weekend. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. But we're also going to listen to God and say, God, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? What is my life all about? What am I building my life on? And it's a challenge. I'm here to challenge you, and I hope that you accept the challenge. That you say, yes, Mark, I realize that I am laying a foundation in my life, that I am at the crossroads of my life. I have a choice to make in my life. I have a choice to choose God or to reject Him. You see, you're young. You're making choices. These choices are going to affect your life. They will. I've seen it. I've been there. They're going to impact your life for your future, for your eternity. So everyone who hears these words and does them, this is Jesus speaking, just so you know. I didn't preface that, but Jesus says, anyone who hears these words and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Because the ground is shaking. That is the day and age that we live in. There is instability around. Will your structure stand? There's also another warning, another challenge. We read it in verse 6. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be a strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. You see, there is a battle. It's not at the borders. The battle is not on the shore. The battle is not in the plain. It's not on the ramparts. The battle is at the gate. It's right up close. You can choose to ignore it. You can say, nah, there's no battle. Fake news. There is an enemy that roams around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour, to set your life on a course far away from God. The battle is at the gate. The battle, just so you know, the battle is not over what political party you vote for. The battle is not the words of our national anthem. The battle is not whether how we define marriage. The battle is not how the government decides what a baby is. Now, I'm not saying these aren't topics that we can study, that we can go to God's Word, and we can find great, beneficial answers to. But that's not the battle at the gate. The battle at the gate is over your soul. The battle at the gate is at the foot of the cross. The battle at the gate is whether you will build on Jesus, or will you build on nothing, on shifting sand. Reminded of the scene in The Lord of the Rings, right? The Battle of Helm's Deep. And I remember Gimli tossed me, right? Are you willing to be tossed into the fight? Do you have a friend? Do you have someone who will toss you into the battle, who will fight with you? We're going to talk a bit about that. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. I'm going to ask you to read Isaiah 28, the whole chapter. It's not pretty. It's not a fun read. We're going to come back tomorrow morning. We're going to pull it apart. We're going to look at the first faulty foundation. We're going to look at Christ as our cornerstone. Just a quick summary of how it's going to go. We're going to talk about the cornerstone tomorrow morning of your how. Sorry, what's your how? Your how is how you do life. If Christ is not the cornerstone of how you do life, you've got a faulty foundation. How? The cornerstone of your how? Well, we love God with all our strength. That's how we live life. But Jesus is the way. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about the cornerstone of our what. What do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? With what certainty can you believe what you believe? If Christ is not the cornerstone of your what, you don't have certainty. You don't have a belief system. And you can't certainly, you cannot love God with your mind. How do you love God with all your mind? The battle is over your mind. The battle is over the truth. The battle is to believe the truth. We're going to look at that tomorrow night. And then Sunday morning, the cornerstone of our why. What do you value? What's important to you? Why do you exist? Why are you alive? Why are you here? What's important? Well, with Christ as the foundation of our why, we can love God with our heart. But how do we love God with our heart? There's a battle over your affections, the things that you love. There's a battle over your heart. And that's the life in Christ. Did you catch that? In Deuteronomy, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, it's all connected. It's all connected to your foundation. And Christ as your foundation. God, we are so desiring to grow this weekend. We've had our foundations shaken. We've gone through things in our lives that shake the very root of our being. We've made choices that maybe we regret, Lord. We've done things that demonstrate that we don't love you, God. We've lived lives that through and through demonstrate self-love, that we only love ourselves, that we don't build on your foundation, that time and time again, we are lost in our wanderings, God. Lord, for the Ephraims in this room, Lord, may we come to you, God. May we return to you, worshiping you, embracing your salvation. Lord, I'm so excited to see lives changed for you, God. For the Hezekiahs in this room, the ones who have been going strong for you, but are looking around and seeing a world that's beating them down, with enemies on the borders, drawing close, with battles at the gate. Lord, may we rise up a generation that is not scared to fight, that is not timid, that is not shaken, because we're built on the rock that is Christ Jesus. Lord, teach us of this rock this weekend, God. Teach us of the foundation, that sure, precious, perfect, costly stone, Christ Jesus. And it's His name we pray. Amen.